A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, we love God because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. For whoever does not love a brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. This is a commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten by God, and everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by him. In this way, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Whoever is begotten by God conquers the world, and the victory that conquers the world is our faith. Verbum Domini. Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. O God, with your judgment endow the king, and with your justice the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice, and your afflicted ones with judgment.
Lord, every nation on earth will
adore you. From fraud and violence he shall redeem them, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. May they be prayed for continually. Day by day shall they bless him. May his name be blessed forever. As long as the sun, his name shall remain. In him shall all the tribes of the earth be blessed. All the nations shall proclaim his happiness.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went, according to his custom, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth.
Verbum Domini.
Reminded today by St. John that our faith involves a relationship with Christ, which is expressed by fidelity to the gospel and the commandments, by life of prayer and of love for our neighbor. And St. John says we love God because he first loved us. The love that we receive from God gives us the capacity to return that love and to spread it to others. And it's by God's grace that we love him who first loved us. We know that love does not originate in our hearts because it is from God. He is the source. He is love. Romans 5, verse 5 tells us that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Again, he is the source of all love. St. Bede asks the question, from where would we get the power to love God if he had not loved us first of all? Jesus says in the gospel, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. We shall therefore be perfect in love if, following his example, we love him for no other reason that he first loved us and gave himself for us. We're also reminded today that whoever loves God must also love his brother. In other words, we cannot love God unless we love our neighbor. Again, St. Bede would say, anyone who loves God must love his brother also, for the simple reason that loving God means loving those whom God loves. So if I'm having a personal issue with someone, to remember, God loves this person. Or maybe even more helpful, Lord, you shed your blood for this person. You died for this person, for their salvation. Help me to see them as you see them, to love them as you love them. But the love of God and the love of neighbor are inseparable. And the love of God is known and demonstrated by the love of neighbor. It's when we love our neighbor that we see it, that a sign is given, an expression of our love for God. Or more boldly put, St. John Climacus would say, anyone who does not love God, or anyone who does not love his neighbor, does not love God. So again, we cannot separate them. Again, this can be quite challenging because we may have some neighbors that we find it difficult to love. But we recall as well that love is not a feeling. We don't have to feel good about it. It's an act of the will. It's desiring the good of our neighbor. It's ultimately desiring their salvation, that they get to heaven. That we pray for their conversion. We pray for their sanctification. And St. John also tells us today that God's commandments are not burdensome. They only seem burdensome if we're attached to the vanities and to the things of this world. Then it becomes burdensome, because I put something else in place of God in my life. Rather, the love of God and the promise of eternal happiness with him in the next life, this is what makes the yoke of Christ light. We recall that the Lord told us, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And when we do experience various trials and temptations, God provides us with the grace necessary to resist that temptation. In his first letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength. But with the temptation will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. So we all have access to the graces that we need to avoid, to resist, to renounce temptations when they come. And the final point from our first reading today is on St. John's statement that the victory that conquers the world is our faith. This is a faith working in charity. It's not a dead faith. It's working. It's shown by our works of charity. Faith is that supernatural virtue by which we firmly believe all the truths that God has revealed to us. So we recall he is truth itself. And faith is a gift. We want to preserve it and we want to grow in it by being faithful to God's grace every day, by being faithful to daily prayer, and by combating sin and selfishness, and by continuing to study our faith and what God has revealed to us in sacred scripture, in his word. And St. John says that our faith is what conquers the world. What does that mean? It means that everything that's opposed to Christ, everything that's opposed to his work of redemption, of our salvation, that's conquered by our faith. Faith is a gift, and it's worth preserving and fighting for at all costs. And in today's gospel, St. Luke writes about the beginning of our Lord's public ministry by teaching in the Jewish synagogues. And these were small buildings used for worship and instruction in sacred scripture. But the difference between the synagogues and the temple is that synagogues were not considered to be a dwelling place of God. There were no sacrifices offered in the synagogues. That was only reserved for the temple. And participation in religious services in the synagogues was open to members of the congregation and also to visitors and guests. And the Jews assembled in these synagogues on the Sabbath and on feast days for prayer, for reading of sacred scripture, for instruction and discussion. So our Lord comes into the synagogue in Nazareth. Again, that's his own hometown, so he certainly had been there before. And he is given a scroll from the book of Isaiah. And he reads from chapter 61, which is a prophecy that explains his own mission. Isaiah had announced the coming of the Lord who would free his people from their afflictions. And this prophecy was about salvation and the person who was chosen to bring it about. So after reading the prophecy out loud, our Lord tells those present that he is the fulfillment of this prophecy. Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. And his mission, we're told, included bringing glad tidings to the poor, to the materially poor, and to the spiritually poor, to those who look to God and trust in him to provide for what they need. And he would preach liberty to captives. This is a reference to the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, which describes a year of jubilee in which those who were in debt, slavery, would be set free. But the liberty that our Lord would preach and carry out would be deliverance from the much greater slavery to sin. St. Cyril of Alexandria says that Christ preached to all who were without spiritual riches. He set the captives free, having overthrown the apostate tyrant Satan, and he shed the divine and spiritual light on those whose heart was darkened. This is why he said, "I come as light in this world." It was he who took the chains of sin off of those whose heart was crushed by them. And just a final point in today's gospel, and one that we can try to incorporate in our own spiritual lives, is a small detail that St. Luke gives us in our gospel today. He writes that after our Lord read from the scroll and he handed it back to the attendant and sat down, that all the eyes of those in the synagogue were fixed intently on him. Why were they intently fixed on him? Because they had heard of the great things that he had done in Capernaum. And they were waiting expectantly for what he had to say about that passage from Isaiah that he had just read. So it's they knew what they had heard about what he had done, but also perhaps they were struck by how he read this passage, the power, the conviction with which he read it. St. Ambrose hinted at this when he said that our Lord showed himself the same who spoke in the prophets. It's really pretty profound when you think about it. The words that he was reading, he inspired those. He is God himself. And he's reading them vocally to these people, his own words in which he inspired Isaiah. So there must have been a power and a conviction with which he read those words. So the people were very attentive to what he had to say. And we can reflect again on our own spiritual lives. How attentive, how eager am I to listen to the Lord's words, to allow them to sink into my heart? So we pray today that we may keep our eyes, our hearts, and our attention fixed intently on Christ our Savior and on his words and teaching.